Isaiah 43, and we're going to read beginning with verse number 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful text this morning? Wonderful promises of God. The Lord wants to remind us today that He is a God of new things. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, in order to really get the full impact of this text, you have to look at the context. You have to look at what's going on, because Isaiah is a prophet to those who are in captivity in Babylon. This is a message that he is preaching to those Jews that were taken into captivity. And you know what happened whenever the years would go by? They were 70 years in captivity. And in those years, you know, a generation could go by. And really what would happen to those that were held captive is they would become like their captors. They would literally be swallowed up. Their nationality, their identity would literally be swallowed up by their captors. And they were so concerned about the fact that they were held in captivity. Now we can look at this and we know that their captivity did come to an end. But they didn't know that their captivity was going to come to an end. As a matter of fact, in their hearts they were thinking, our identity is going to be swallowed up. We're all going to be, our children are going to be lost in this pagan land. Our children is not going to know about Zion. They're not going to know about the true and the living God. They're not going to know all of these things that we have known about. And that's the reason in Psalm 137 is a psalm of those who were held captive in Babylon. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And so their hearts were so overwhelmed by the fact that they had been taken into captivity and the things that were... Now, they deserved it. They came under the judgment of God, and they had been warned about what was going to happen to them if they persisted in their willful sin and disobedience to God. And, but when it came and the judgment fell upon them and they're carried away into this pagan land and this city of Babylon, then it's overwhelming to them, and they know that they're going to lose their identity and they're going to lose who they are, and the generations to come are going to be swallowed up by the paganism. That's why they couldn't sing their songs in a strange land. Now that is the context of this wonderful prophetic voice that Isaiah gives to them. He had warned them. He had preached to them about their sins and about their failures. But he also gave to them a word of hope. Praise God. You have to go back to verse 14 of the same chapter and see how this prophetic word was coming forth. In verse 14, he said, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sakes I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. So he's prophesying that there is going to come an end to this powerful nation. There is going to come an end to all of this. And that you're going to be able to be restored back to Zion and back to Jerusalem. And this is going to come to an end. And so they receive this word, this prophetic word from Isaiah to tell them that God was going to, there were going to be armies that were going to sweep in and they were going to destroy the Babylonians. And it was going to be such a wonderful victory. It says that whose cry is in the ships. The Babylonians were known for their great ships and their great navy and their merchant ships. They say historians say that they had 3,000 vessels at the height of their strength as far as their ships and their vessels. So the very thing that they were proud of and that they esteemed as their strength, and this was going to be the cry of those in Babylon, that they have been overcome and their kingdom has been brought down. Now that was the prophecy that Isaiah brought to them. And then he tells them, don't remember the former things. Let me just stop right there and just say, God controls your future. Satan does not control your future. If you're a child of God, God's in control of your future. Amen. Don't you love that wonderful verse? Anytime I talk about God's plan and God's future, I have to go back to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It's such a wonderful promise and a wonderful verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you hope for your future. Amen. The enemy is not in control of your future. If you're a child of God, then the scripture here and this word from Isaiah to those who had been held captivity for no doubt decades, he is now speaking to them and saying, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You know that there are some things that God wants us to remember and some things that God wants to remove from our memory. Amen. So many places in the scripture were commanded, the children of Israel were commanded to remember the law of God. And that they were to put it as phylacteries around their eyes. And they were to wear these different things on their garments just as a reminder to them of the law of God. They were to remember God's law, frontlets and phylacteries. And in Deuteronomy 6, it talks about that to teach your children and put the law of God on the doorpost and teach them the law of God that when they rise up in the morning and when they lay down at night and when they go out in the marketplace, make sure that this book of the law doesn't pass away from them. That they're always remembering the law of God. Amen. Many places in the scripture, especially relates to the victories and the miracles that God gave to the children of Israel. They were instructed to raise up memorials to remember times when God brought them through great times of trial. They went through the Jordan and there they built up a big mound of stones there. And all of those mounds that they raised up were there. And it was placed there so future generations would come along and say, what means this big pile of rocks? What is this? And then they would take that memorial and that would be an occasion to teach them and to remind those children that God brought the children of Israel into this wonderful promised land. Amen. There's a lot of things we need to remember. But there's some things that God says we need to forget too. Amen. We need to forget. And that's what he's talking about. Isaiah is telling them, sure you sinned. Sure that sin took you into captivity. And you have suffered unspeakable things in Babylon. And it's been a horrible thing. All of this judgment and all that's happened to you. But I want you to know that there's going to come a day when you can just put all of this out of your memory as if it never happened to you. It can be erased from your mind and from your thoughts. Amen. Glory to God. You know, Satan loves to drudge up the past, doesn't he? He loves to bring up the memories of your failures, of your losses, of your troubles. He loves to bring up the sad times, the bad times, and make that the focus of your life. But don't let Satan get a hold of your future. Don't let him control your future. Don't let him make you bitter. Don't let him make you hopeless in the circumstance that you're in. Because God is in control of your future. Amen. Glory to God. We need to thank the Lord for that. God's in control of our future. If we're children of God, even our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again against us. They have been washed, they have been cleansed, that no matter what Satan tries to do to remind you of your past failures. You know, a lot of times people allow their past and things that have happened to them and tragedies and trouble to literally control every part of their future life. Every decision they make, the way they live, their lifestyle, their choices, everything about their life is always in remembrance and based upon that thing that happened, that terrible event, that terrible circumstance in your life. But the Lord wants you to be free from that. Amen. No matter what it is, even the loss of loved ones and family members, the enemy uses that to discourage you and to cause you to lose hope, to think that you don't have a future, just that you only have an existence. But that's not the promise of God. The promise of God that He gives to the children of Israel and to you and I here this morning is, don't be controlled by the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Don't make those things. Sure, there's some things we need to remember and we need to keep in remembrance, but there's some things that need to be wiped away from our memory. Never to be brought up again. Amen. And then he says in verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now, that word behold is not just thrown in there to make it sound good, you know, old English. That is a word that means be aware of, or you need to be able to see this. See it. Be aware of it. See that I am a God who can do a new thing for you. Just think of all the wonderful things that were accomplished through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But he was a murderer, a blasphemer, a destroyer of the church. If he wanted all of his past to destroy the future and the potential of his life, he had enough history that he could have certainly have done that. But he said, all of this, I choose to forget. I'm putting it all behind me. Amen. Not to be remembered anymore. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching forth to the future for the mark that and the prize that is set before me. I'm reaching forth to that. And that's what the Lord wants to speak to our hearts here this morning on this first Sunday of the new year. And that is, let God wipe you, your mind and your heart free of all of these things that the enemy wants to use against your life. Look to the future. Glory to God. Look to the future and realize that God will do a new thing. This is a wonderful phrase because it's describing a God who is a creator God. That He wants to do and He can do. When He says, I'll do a new thing, He's talking about something unprecedented. He's talking about something that He's never done in your life before. Amen. Sure, we're thankful we got saved. We're thankful for all the wonderful experiences of being filled with the Spirit. But too often we kind of set back on those past experiences, and we think, well, isn't it wonderful what God did for me in my past? But we forget about the fact that God is a God, a creator God, who does new things all the time, and He wants to do a mighty new, fresh work for you now as we start off this year. And for our church here at First Pentecostal Church, He says it's going to spring forth. These are words that describe a seed that's planted, that germinates, and then eventually breaks forth out of the ground and becomes a plant, something new that is growing, that God has planted the seed. Amen. We need some fresh things. We were talking about this Friday night and the challenge service, that there needs to be a freshness in our lives. There needs to be a freshness in our worship. There needs to be a freshness in what's going on here in the body of Christ. There needs to be new things springing up in all of our lives. All kinds of new things that God wants to do. The warning in the scripture there to the children of Israel. Sure, He provided for them manna that rained out of heaven. And it was a wonderful miracle of provision for them in the wilderness. But they were warned to only take enough sufficient for their family. And when they disobeyed and would take more than that measure that was to, what was prescribed by the Lord, then it would be filled with worms and it would corrupt. And I'm afraid that if we're not careful, what we're offering to the Lord is just corrupt. It's just stale. It's old. There's no new thing. There's no freshness. There ought to be freshness in our worship. Amen. There ought to be freshness in our walk with the Lord, our experience with the Lord. It's a good thing to ask the Lord, Lord, do some new things in me. Lord, help me to see a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Aren't you going to be aware of it? Aren't you going to see that I am the God who can plant a new seed and can bring forth something new and fresh in your life? It doesn't matter if you have served the Lord 50 years. He is still a God that can do something new for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. But that manna was only good for one day. One day. And the next morning, they would have to go out and get the fresh manna every morning that would sustain them for that day. And it was only on the Sabbath that they were allowed to take enough to supply for them also on that Sabbath day. But the rest of the days of the week, it was to be a daily portion. A daily bread that God does something new in us and for us. The word that we used Friday night was this great word, rejuvenate. Rejuvenate. It means to make young again. How many of you would like to be young again? Amen. I'm 55 and sometimes I kind of feel it. But most of the time I don't. But I thank the Lord that the Lord can make us young and youthful and full of strength and vigor. And He can cause us to be renewed in our strength. And He can give us new life and a freshness in our walk with the Lord. If we'll seek the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see a new thing. Help me to behold a new thing in my life, in my walk with the Lord in 2011. Start something new and fresh in my life, Lord. And He will do that. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. New vision. New anointing. Newness. New burden. New insights. New understandings. New ministry opportunities. New purpose. New approach. New tools. The list can go on and on and on. Of newness. He is a creator God who doesn't have to have something to make something. He makes something out of nothing. And He can speak into existence and plant the seed of some new thing that He wants to do in you and through your life. Ask Him to do a new thing. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Ask Him to do a wonderful new work in your life. Scripture says, He said, that I will do a new thing. It'll spring forth. It'll break forth like a plant breaking forth out of the ground. Shall you not know it? Sure, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What a wonderful word to these who are held captive. He's telling them, I am going to make a highway in the wilderness. I am going to provide water for you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to provide for you and take care of you. I'm going to do new things in your life that you can't even imagine. Behold it. Open your eyes. See it. Envision it. Believe it. That God has some wonderful new things that He wants to do for you individually. Some wonderful new things that He wants to do for us corporately here at First Pentecostal Church. That can just break forth with fresh new things that God wants to do. Amen. That's the reason why that new Christians can provide such excitement in a church, is because you see the newness in them. You see the innocence and the longing and the hunger that they have for the things of God, and their zeal that they have. And do you know that those of us who have been saved quite a long time, we need to return to that newness of our first love. Newness of our first walk with the Lord and our first relationship with the Lord. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field, even the creation is going to honor the Lord. Even the creation and the world is going to honor the Lord when they experience the wonderful blessing and the provision of God. Verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. In case you were wondering about your life and your future, God created you not for yourself, but He created you for Him. Amen. So if you've set out with your goals and your ambition about your life and your future, you better make sure that what you're doing and your plans are in the center of the will of God and the plan of God, because God created you for Him. And the only way you're going to be blessed and the only way you're going to have His favor in your life is when you seek after His will and that you are allowing God to have His way in your life. This people have I formed for myself. I know that is specifically talking about the Jewish nation, but you and I are adopted into that family. It's also a message to every one of us here today that God has created us for Him, and that we are to show forth His praise, that our life is to bring glory to God in all that we are doing. We were formed. The word formed there literally means that you have been molded or shaped by God. Amen. Now, the most amazing thing to me to consider is the fact that God's plan is such a mighty and a wonderful thing. His plan to redeem the world. Now, He could have done it without mankind. He could have done it without us, but His plan is to use us. The plan of God is to use us. And so it was in the mind of God was, I'm going to use my creation, the crown of my creation. I'm going to use man to bring my plan to reality. I'm going to use men. And since I'm going to use man, the crown of my creation, then I'm not just going to say, here, go do it. I'm going to shape them. I'm going to form them. And I'm going to give them everything that they have, the gifts that they need, the talents that they need. I'm going to give to them the calling that they need to get the job done. God didn't just say, do it. He said, I want you to find your place because I've already given to you gifts and callings and talents and abilities that just need to be brought to fruitfulness in your life. I've given you everything you need for life and for happiness and success in the kingdom of God. Find your place. Amen. And advance God's plan in you. So glad that the plan of God includes me. It includes you. And in these last days, as we're faced with many, many challenges of these last days, don't despair. Don't despair because of political decisions or because of the economy. Don't despair by the backslidings of others. Don't despair by other things that you see around you. God has a plan. God's got a plan for these last days. He's not caught off guard. He's not surprised by all the things that are going on in this world right now. He has a plan, and His plan is going to be glorious. His plan is going to be wonderful. It's going to be mighty. And not only is His plan wonderful, but He said, you can have a part in it. You have a place in the kingdom of God. And bringing everything to summation, God has allowed us to have a part in this. This people have I formed for myself. Amen. I have shaped you. I have formed you. I have molded you with my own hands. I have made you. And you have a place. You fit perfectly in that place in the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful? Our little grandson, Aiden, of course, their family this year has gone through a extremely difficult time, challenging time. But this week, on a couple of occasions, he has said, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. Now, I know it's just a little kid, just a child. But for me, now, I just take hold of a word like that and just say, Lord, did you put those words in the mouth of that little baby? Did you do that, Lord? Is this just a whim, or have you already put in the heart of a little five-year-old? Is he 5 years old? Have you already put in him the spirit and the calling? Have you already shaped him for his future? Have you already done a work in him? And even in spite of everything that Satan's tried to throw in their way and to destroy their lives and their future and their family, did you put in his heart to say a couple of times, I want to be a pastor? Amen. Glory to God. So I've got something to pray about. Not that I didn't already have something to pray about. But now I've got a new thing to pray about. Lord, if this is your call for him, then don't let anything get in the way. Don't let anything stop it. If this is your purpose, if you have shaped him, if you've created him for this calling and for this purpose, then Lord, make a man of God out of him. Lord, and put him in places where he can hear your voice. Put him in circumstances where he can be used of you, Lord, that nothing can hinder what you want to do. No matter what the lies of the enemy might be and all that Satan is trying to do to bring destruction. Lord, out of all of that, raise up a man of God. Hallelujah. 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 That's the promise of God. Behold, I'll do a new thing. When I say a new thing, I mean, let God do some new things in you. Let it be something fresh. Amen. I have to admit, over the years however many years that I've been trying to preach, I have preached the same sermon more than once. But not really very often. It's very seldom that happens. And I come to services many times, admittedly, thinking, Lord, do I really have the mind of God? Is this really the mind of God? Lord, am I really moving the direction you want to? Other times, I've come to the pulpit and I have had such a confidence and an assurance in my heart. I knew that I knew that I knew that I'd heard from God. Hallelujah. Amen. And what a wonderful thing is when God has given to you a fresh word from God. Something fresh, something new, something that's just manna out of heaven that's rained down upon your soul and has fed you and has encouraged you and challenged you. Let God bring freshness into your life. Amen. Whatever your work, whatever your calling, whatever your ministry, whatever it is, let there be a new freshness and a youthfulness and a new strength that's brought to that. Amen. If you're a singer, ask the Lord, give me a new anointing. And give me new songs. And give me a freshness, Lord, from you. It doesn't mean that it has to be a brand new song. You can take an old song and pray it through good. And know that it's for that hour. And it might be a song 100 years old, and that's okay. It doesn't really matter. But just make sure that it's not just something you're doing out of your regular habit. I've always done it, and this is the one I've always sung. And so I'm just going to sing it again for good measure. Let God do something fresh for you. That applies to every ministry. That God could bring freshness into your Sunday school class, your Sunday school ministry. God could bring freshness into every avenue of our work and our ministry. Fresh word from the Lord. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. I'll plant a new seed in your heart and in your mind, and it'll break forth. It'll spring forth a new thing that God will do. Hallelujah. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the reason that we were created. That's why we're here. To glorify the Lord. To glorify the Lord in all that we are doing. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, that you can do a new thing in 2011. Help me, Lord, to be a part of it. Lord, I don't know all of your plans and all of your purpose. There's no way I can predict what another day or week will hold.
But I do know, Lord, that You can do new things in us. You can give us a fresh calling, a freshness to our life. Bread from heaven. Oh God, oh Lord, do a work, a mighty work, a new work in us, Lord. Our lives will be changed and affected, and that Your name will be glorified through us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you honestly would like for God to do something new in you, I wonder if you'd be bold enough to stand up right where you are. Amen. Stand up. You want the Lord to do something new and fresh and real in your life, and you'll stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we rejoice in what He has done. We're thankful for the work that He has done. But remember that out of the midst of all of this despair that they were in, when you see this message in light of the fact that the children of Israel were in captivity and the prophet was saying, you're not going to be here very long. I'm going to bring you out of this and I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to spring forth. Can you imagine the excitement and the thrill for those who received that message in faith to know that that captivity was going to come to an end and that God was going to do some new things? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank You for standing. It's a step of faith, asking the Lord to do a new work in us. So let's pray together about that this morning. We're praying individually, and then we also are praying corporately as a congregation and asking the Lord, Lord, give us a freshness, a new touch, a new anointing, Your favor, Lord, upon our church as well. Would you pray with me now? Father, thank You for the privilege that we have, Lord, to know You. I thank You, Lord, for the way that You've taken care of us and provided for us. So many wonderful things that You have done. Hallelujah. But Lord, we're into a new year. And I know, Lord, that You're a God, a creator God. You're a God that can do new things, fresh things. Lord, unprecedented things in our lives. And Lord, that's what we are asking for. Lord, we're asking for it as individuals, every believer here in this place. Lord, that You would just plant a seed in the hearts of every man and woman, of every young person this morning. Plant the seed there in their hearts this morning. This weekend, Lord, that the seed of what You are wanting to do would be planted today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, Lord, we would see it begin to break forth, begin to spring forth in reality as You bring it to pass. Lord, I pray for our church, our work, our ministry, Lord, collectively as a body, Lord, that we would move together as one, that there would be a mighty spirit of unity, and Lord, that we would move in the will of God, and that we would do those things that would please You. Oh God, do a fresh, new work among Your people, and right here at this location, oh Lord, a new, mighty work of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that there would be a freshness and a newness and a new strength and a new calling and a new purpose, Lord, in the ministries that we have. I pray, Lord, that You will stir up the hearts of each of us, Lord, that new ministries will begin, that new vision, that new purpose, God, that You would introduce in our lives, newness, new things. Oh, God, do a work among us, we pray. In this congregation and among Your people, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.